be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds, and they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting, and he looked for justice, but behold bloodshed, for righteousness, but behold an outcry. And so God describes Israel here as this beloved and beautiful vineyard that was placed in a well and fertilized and luscious land. And God took care of it and cultivated it himself. He did everything to give it the environment it needed to flourish. But in verse 7, it's the vineyard of the Lord, referred to here as the house of Israel. But in verses 3 through 4, God asks that they look at this relationship between him and his vineyard. He asks him to look and see if there's anything that God hasn't done that he should do differently. And in verse 4, God says, "What more can I do?" And the truth in verse 7 was that this vineyard produced worthless grapes. And of course, the message in Isaiah is that Israel was God's choice vineyard, but they failed to produce grapes. They were supposed to produce justice and righteousness, but all that grew was bloodshed and outcry. And so Israel was a failure as the Lord's vineyard. When you think about the temple and its construction, the very front of the temple had an image of a vineyard on it. It was to symbolize God's people. And yet they fail. And so Jesus comes to earth, and now he says in John 15, "I am the true vine." Jesus says, "I can replant the vine in a way that Israel is unable to do." And so we come here to John chapter 15 in verse 1, and Jesus describes very quickly that he is the true vine, God is the vine dresser, some translations say husbandman. In verse 2, he says, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." So first notice what he says here, that every branch in me, that's important. Because what is significant about that phrase is that it is always about being in Christ. That's fundamental. That's foundational. Secondly, he says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Dead branches are cut off. In verse 6, he says that they are eventually thrown into the fire. And then notice the last part of verse 2, "Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." And so there are two different words used in this passage that I want us to draw attention to. First of all, at the beginning of verse 2, he says that he takes away, which is different from the word where he prunes. It says he prunes. The King James Version says purges. And we kind of think of purge and take away as similar things, but they're much different. Purge means to cleanse. And as can be observed in verse 3, it is used again. "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." So let me give you an illustration of horticulture. I'm sure you've heard this many times before. When I used to landscape a lot when I lived in Nashville. And one of the things we did when we maintained people's landscapes is that we'd go in, the first thing my boss told us to do is to go through all the shrubs and you cut out all the dead. The first thing that you want to do. And so you cut out the dead branches, otherwise the dead will choke out the living. And if you have a branch producing fruit, then you don't want that vine to keep growing and growing so that all of the energy of the vine and the strength of the vine goes on creating more stem. It needs to be cut back and pruned or purged or cleansed so that it can produce more fruit. And so the dead branches are cut away and thrown into the fire. The branches bearing fruit, the gardener comes along and cleanses them in order to bear more. And so he says in verse 3, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken." And so Jesus hints here at a key idea in this passage. There is a vital relationship between us as disciples and Jesus Christ as the true vine. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are we going to be a fruitless branch or a fruitful branch. And the next verse speaks to this idea. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. This is an intimate and vital relationship that is had with Christ. It is essential for the branches to be connected to the vine. You think about the storms that we had over the last couple of months. Some of those trees were knocked down. Gis knows about that quite well. All these trees that were knocked down, you go and they're cut. Some of them are just cut completely off the stump. But if you go and you take one of those stems that's still attached to the tree, there's still a little bit of green probably, at least for a little while. You'll see some, it looks like there's growth still. But it doesn't take a professional to realize that that's not going to last very long. It's going to die very soon because it's not firmly connected to the stump. And so the text makes the same point about our connection to Christ. If we don't abide in Christ, we cannot bear fruit. Apart from Jesus, Jesus says you cannot do anything. And so it's crucial that everyone listen and be intimately connected to Christ and that they abide in the vine. Now, notice how this relationship is described. It's mutual. In verse 4, as you abide in the vine, the text says, Christ abides in you. It's a mutual relationship here. And notice the wording of abide in me and I in you. And then look at verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. We are dependent on Christ. Our lives depend on him. The image of Jesus in the true vine means that we are to have this vital relationship with Jesus. So what's your relationship with Christ? So look at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. So the consequence of not having a relationship, a vital relationship with the vine, is eerie. We must abide in Christ if we do not want to be cast off or thrown into the fire. There is nothing but judgment left for such people. Being separated from Christ is an awful outcome. And then he says here in verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And we'll come back to those verses in just a moment. The main point of this passage, though, is incredibly simple. How tightly are we clinging to the vine? What is your relationship with Christ? Now, I want to spend a little bit of time talking about some ways this text tells us that Christ, it shows us what Christ does to keep us, to help keep us faithful. And then I want to talk about what the text says about how we, what we do to strengthen our relationship to the vine, to solidify that connection. And the first thing I would suggest to us is that God prunes us and cleanses us in order to keep us faithful and close to him. That's not always easy to hear. But in order to strengthen us and make us more firmly connected to the vine, he purges us. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 5, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And then he goes on to illustrate how an earthly father disciplines us, and we typically respect that and reverence that. And no matter how much you respect them, your earthly father isn't perfect. He doesn't have perfect knowledge, but God does. He knows what we need at all times. And if we respect our father, our earthly fathers, for what they try to teach us, and we need to appreciate them, and we should, then how much more should we be thankful for the discipline of our Heavenly Father? Every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And then if you look at verse 11 of that same chapter, for a moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God purges, he cleanses in order to yield fruit. So God sometimes puts us through difficult circumstances to strengthen our connection to the vine. There's an example, a preacher in California. I heard my cousin by marriage, Tommy Peeler, was told this story about this preacher in California. Came to him and was telling this story about this young man that this guy came to him one time at the church building while he was there studying, and the guy came in and he said, you know, it just seems to me that all these churches and Christianity, it just seems like it's so worldly. It's just all about getting people together and just having a lot of joy and celebrating things that maybe not necessarily in line with what God has to say. Just a big party is what he says. And so he said, I don't want that. Tell me something that's true. And so the preacher said, well, just why don't you come and worship with us and we'll set up a time and we'll just start studying with you. And it didn't take long before he became a Christian. And he had this job that gave him two major injuries. And it was so bad, he was 25 years old when he became a Christian, and he walked with a cane. And so a while after they started studying, he was baptized. The preacher said that he was so engrossed in the Word that he knew the Bible better than some Christians there who were 10 to 15 years into their Christian life. And he said at one point they huddled all together with this guy, and they were talking to him, and they were saying, you know what, that this problem, the reason you're walking with this cane, have you ever thought about getting that checked out? And he didn't say a word. They said, I think you should go get that checked out. Go see the chiropractor. Maybe he can help you. And he didn't say anything. And the next day, the preacher noticed that, and he comes up to the guy, and he said, I have a question for you. Why didn't you respond to them when they asked you about going and seeing a doctor? And he said, well, to be honest with you, I'm afraid to go because I still have a lot to learn from my injuries. And I'm afraid if I let that pain leave me, I'll go right back to where I was. Every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes. This isn't an easy process for the vine, and it's not easy for us either. It took an awful lot from Jesus. If you're going through a difficult time, then be strengthened by the fact that God is using this to cleanse you and prune you, to better shape you and prepare you for his service. Increase your dependence upon the vine. Secondly, the text explains to us that in order for us to abide in the vine and he in us, we must be in his word. Here in John 15 and verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And then in verse 7, there's a slight difference between 3 and 7. In verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. All right, and so as we reflect on the words of Christ, as we make decisions based on the words of Christ, and as we let the words of Christ shape our view of the world and our view of right and wrong and how we should act in any given situation, as we do that, he is dwelling in us. Abide in me and my words abide in you. And the reason why we seek to teach the Bible and preach the Bible is because these words can bring us closer to the vine. We talked about that last week and how important it is to read our Bibles. It draws us close to God. It connects us to the vine, which is Jesus. If you read Psalm 119, that whole psalm is about what God's word does for us. God's word revives us. It comforts us. It gives us light. All of these things draw us closer to him. And as we spend time in the Word, we are being transformed. As we listen to the Word and seek His words, we are becoming more like Him. We are bearing fruitful branches of the vine. We're strengthened by His words. This book will strengthen your relationship with Him. Abide in me, and my words abide in you. And then notice what we just read here in verse 7. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. We strengthen our relationship to the vine through fervent prayer. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 13, and no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Draw near means growing closer to the vine, clinging to Him. And then He says, whatever we ask. And the idea, I think, of that particular phrase is that if we are truly being influenced by Him and His words, and we are abiding in Him, then our requests will be consistent with God and His principles. What we ask will be more in line with God and His mind and His will. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. How much time have you spent this week drawing near to God in prayer and His word? Our relationship to the vine is absolutely vital. God strengthens it by purging us and pruning us. We allow Him to strengthen it as we spend time in His word and in our conversations to God in prayer. And the purpose of all of this is to glorify God. Verse 8 of John 15, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. It's similar to something that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 1. In verse 11, beginning back up in verse 9, and it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Talks about fruitfulness, bearing fruit of righteousness, and it's for the purpose of glorifying our God. God has planted the true vine. And it's up to us now as to whether we want to be part of the vine. The orange tree bears oranges, tangerine trees bear tangerines. The vine of Jesus only produces replicas of Jesus. And so can people see the difference in who you are and what you're trying to become? Yes, they can. And they do. They see it every day. We just had a prayer about being the light to the world. People will see who we're trying to become. Now, some may not respond very well to that. That sometimes happens. But they're going to recognize the difference between you and the world. And it will impact your family, impact your friends, and it'll have an impact on the world. So may God be glorified in your lives, in our lives. May He continue to help us abide in Jesus, the vine. I want to end with Colossians chapter 1. And I want to look at this prayer of Paul's. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 3, he's starting this prayer off. He's thanking God for these brethren here. For this hope in verse 5 that's laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. And then look on down in verse 8. He's made known to us your love in the Spirit, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Paul has a prayer, a beautiful prayer, on how to bear fruit. And it's all for the purpose of glorifying our Father. Let's go to God in prayer. Our great God and Father in heaven, we are so thankful to you for recognizing our failure, recognizing that we are in desperate need of salvation. And what you have done in sending us Jesus Christ, your only Son, you have planted him firmly as the vine. And we have an opportunity now to be attached to that vine, to be branches that bear fruit for the purpose of praising you, our wonderful God and King. And we just pray, God, that you will give us the strength this week to allow you to discipline us and to prune us and to clean us and to purge us so that we can be more fruitful. May we realize that nothing we do this week is on our own. It's simply because we are attached to you. May we be in your word. May we be more prayerful in our lives this week, with one another, with our families, and individually. May we be the salt of the earth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It may be that you're not attached to the vine. And that's a scary place to be. But it's also something you can change. You can be part of that vine. Jesus wants you to be attached to him. And so we would encourage you to think about that. Attach your life to Jesus and the cross, and he will take care of you. He will supply your every need. It may be that you have a tear, and you're hanging on by a thread to the vine. And if that's the case, we'd encourage you to strengthen that. God, Jesus will help you with that. He will strengthen that, and he will make it secure again if you will give your life to him. And so we ask you to think about those things. If there's any way we can help you tonight to become a Christian or to give your life back to the Lord, we ask that you do that now as we stand and sing.